Good morning. How's everyone today? Welcome to Denver, by the way. This is kind of my hometown in a sense. We have a place outside of Denver as well, but Denver is where I spend a good share of my time, and so it's great to have everyone here. I'm going to set this off to the side so my papers stay. Played a little golf yesterday for those of you who were out on the course. It was a lot of fun. This is typical weather for Denver in the summertime. We have sunny mornings. Very few mornings do you wake up in Denver or in Colorado, actually, where the sun isn't shining. But then about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, the clouds start to form over the mountains, and by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, thunderstorms roll through, and it rains for an hour, sometimes 15 minutes. And by 5 o'clock in the afternoon, the sun is back out, and things are back to normal. So, or, as it's done in the past, it doesn't rain for months at a time, and then nothing is green and everything is brown here in the mountains. So, first of all, I'd like to thank a few people. My son, Tom Bryan, who has put this agenda together for the Fuel Ethanol Workshop, has worked with a steering committee, FEW Program Steering Committee, and that steering committee consisted of John Culpert, Samantha Fink, Gunnar Green, Mick Henderson, Rob Randall, Larry Russo, Carl Sitzman, and Mark Stowers. And I'd like to ask you to please give them a hand because they put in an enormous amount of work. They put an enormous amount of work into this agenda. We have over 200 speakers at this event starting yesterday morning with the International Distillers Grain Conference and the Advanced Biofuels Conference, moving on into the Fuel Ethanol Workshop. This is, by the way, as most of you know, I think, the 25th anniversary of the Fuel Ethanol Workshop. And we're very proud of that. My wife, Kathy, started the Fuel Ethanol Workshop along with Robert Soothoff 25 years ago, and it has grown from two tabletop displays, and I think there were 20 or 25 people to conferences of this size, and last year, in fact, was even a little larger than this. We have about 2,300 registrants for this conference and over 300 exhibitors, so we're very proud of that. I'm going to try to be brief this morning and just cover a few things that are on my mind. I was watching Fox News the night before last, and the newscaster on Fox News said that ethanol was a scam. Not very long ago, NBC News said ethanol is a hoax of gigantic proportion being perpetrated on the American public. I could go on. The Wall Street Journal, radio talk shows, newspapers across the country. There's not much good press anymore about ethanol. Who's saying these things? Certainly not us. And why are they being said? Why has ethanol gone from a boon to a bust in the eyes of many? It's been a difficult time for this industry in the past year. It's been a difficult time for many of you who own ethanol plants, many of you who service providers to the industry, to the ethanol industry. It's been a difficult time for our company. We've had to lay off people for the first time in our history. I believe, however, that the economy was only a bit player in this. Some have said, well, it's because of the economy. Has the economy had an effect on it? Absolutely. But I believe the economy, the current economic conditions, are really only a bit player in the woes of the ethanol industry over the past year. Think about it for a minute. Ethanol is the only domestic liquid fuel that we have. It's clean. It's produced at home. It's renewable. If I were to have thought a year and a half ago and looked at the economy and looked at things, I would have thought that ethanol in particular and biofuels in general would have been one of the last things to be hit by a downturn in the economy. Why would we be hit? We're all of these good things. And so we're not importing oil. We're domestic. We're clean. And we're renewable. But as it turned out, we were hit. And again, I go back to my comment that I think much of it had to do not as much with the economy, but far more with the image that ethanol had. In fact, I would submit to you that the image was the root and has been and still is the root of our problems. Food versus fuel, land use, starving people, high food prices, the marginalization of women in third world countries. My God, the list goes on and on. Someone said to me, well, we couldn't get plants financed because the economy was bad. For those of you who are in the business, you know that we couldn't get plants financed a year before the economy took a dive. It had nothing to do with the economy being bad when we couldn't get plants financed. It had everything to do with the image that this industry had within the financial institutions. Bankers, lenders, equity people lost faith in this industry. They lost faith that they would get their money back if they invested in the ethanol industry. All of those things led to an equity freeze and a freeze in the construction of new plants. Some say that was a good thing. Well, we were building too darn fast anyway. The industry was growing too fast, and it needed to slow down. You tell that to the hundreds of communities out there who desperately need new business, rural communities who look at other communities who have ethanol plants, who have biofuels plants, and want to put one in their community. You tell that to the thousands and thousands of workers who are now laid off as a result of not building any new ethanol plants. Have we reached market saturation with ethanol? Well, we can't build any more ethanol plants. We've saturated the market. We have a 150 billion gallon a year gasoline market. I don't think we've reached market saturation with ethanol. We can build hundreds of more plants, and we ought to be doing that, and we ought to be doing it now. And one of the things that's preventing us from doing that is our image. And finally, tell that to the American people, who we tried for years, and I think in many cases successfully so, to convince them that ethanol was a pathway to energy independence. We lost control of the message, in my opinion. That's not to say, I guess, maybe that we ever had control of the message, but if we did, we lost control of the message. Others outside of our industry have set, in many cases, our research agenda. Others outside of our industry, in many cases, have set our political agenda. From production to distribution to promotion to public image, we have not been very effective in setting our agenda, in setting the message to the American public. I understand the difficulty. Food versus fuel issue was not really perpetuated by the grocery industry, as we all think. It was perpetuated by someone else. The land use issue regarding ethanol was not perpetuated by American farmers or even farmers in other countries. It was created by someone else. The energy efficiency issue was not something that Professor Pimentel dreamed up because he didn't have enough to do on the weekend. It was perpetuated by someone else. And I think it's important that we understand that. Someone paid him to do those things. Someone worked with the grocery industry to have those things done, to have those studies done, to create an image of ethanol that was false, that was a lie. That's, ladies and gentlemen, is the real scam in this thing. It certainly was not us. I'm not a conspiratist. I'm a realist. There is a program in many large cities and universities called Take Back the Night. I've been a part of one of those programs. I think right now people in this industry are saying to us and to themselves, it's time we take back control of this industry. It's time we take back control of our message. It's time we take back control of our image. We can no longer let others outside of our industry who don't have our best interests at heart, who want to see the demise of this industry, set our agenda, set our message, set our political objectives, set our research objectives. We need to take back control of our industry once and for all. It's time to create that message, and it's time to develop a plan for that message. We need to stop being reactionary, and we need to start being proactive. I'm not speaking to any one single group. We have got organizations in this industry that are second to none in any other industry. Bob Dineen is going to speak to us this morning. The Renewable Fuels Association has been here for years and has done an amazing job in creating a political agenda that is second to none. Growth Energy has started a new organization from the standpoint of what they're doing in terms of education and so on. Excellent opportunity for this industry. We need to come together as one industry and unite and create our own agenda, create our own message. In a sense, it's time we take back the message. But most importantly, we can't let the RFA, we can't let Growth Energy, we can't let the American Coalition for Ethanol, we can't let the National Corn Growers, the American Corn Growers, the National Farm Bureau, we can't just rely on letting them do our work. It's your work. Every single person in this room who has a vested interest in the ethanol industry, it's your work. You need to understand the issue. I'll bet if I asked for a raise of hands, and I won't, but I'll bet because I could be wrong, but I'll bet if I asked for a raise of hands in this room right now, how many of you understand the current land use issue that the EPA is engaged in? I'll bet you, if you're honest, there wouldn't be more than 25% of the people in this room who actually understand that issue. I bet if I asked you how many of you truly understand the real data behind the food versus fuel, there wouldn't be very many of you who could actually do that either. That's a problem. That's a problem because it is your industry. It's not the RFA's industry. It's not Growth Energy's industry. It's not the corn growers' industry. It's your industry. You're the ones, in many cases, who have been laying people off because business is bad. So, if you're a plant manager, I think it's important that you set aside time for people in your plant and bring in an expert personally or bring in an expert via a webinar. It's time that you make sure that people in your plant understand the issues. So when they see something in the local newspaper, they don't look at it and say, I'm not sure I really understand what's going on there, but doggone it makes me mad that they're bashing ethanol. Well, you need to understand why they're doing that, and you need to understand the issues so you can go out and you can counter those things. You need to have a plan in your community. You can't just sit back and get frustrated with the Wall Street Journal or or papers all across the country, for example, that are bashing ethanol. You need to have a plan for your community. What are we going to do at home to create the right message to set our agenda for ethanol so whenever we're talking to or if we are talking to a local media person, we know what we're going to say, we understand the issues. I think in closing, all I want to say is that rather than it's time for us to take back the night, it's time for us to take back the message. And it's time for us to become involved as individuals in this industry to understand the issues and be willing to stand up and be counted and be willing to go down to the local newspaper and talk to them and down to the local radio station and talk to them and know enough about what you're talking about that you actually can, in fact, make a difference, because that's where it's going to start. It's going to start on Main Street. It doesn't always start just on national television or in the Wall Street Journal or in the San Francisco papers. It starts on Main Street, and it's up to us to take action to make that happen. It's time, in fact, for us to act. So I would like you to make sure that you do everything you can to educate yourself on these issues, on the current issues. I don't care if you have to call Bob Dineen at home. I don't care if you, well, I do care, actually. He probably doesn't want you to call him at home. But I don't care if you have to call up people in the industry who you know and trust and who you know that understand these issues and put them on the spot. Ask them. I need to know what I'm talking about. I need to understand these things. And when you do that, you are going to empower yourself, you are going to empower your community, and you are, in fact, going to empower this industry. So thank you very much. I appreciate you listening. And I hope you have a great conference, by the way. So thank you.